wanted to ask y'all a question. Where is God today? That's right. He's right there. If you've accepted Jesus, then everywhere you go, He goes.
Amen.
It doesn't matter what it is. He doesn't say, oh, well, they're going to go over there and do something wrong. I'm leaving. No. He's there the whole way.
Amen.
And He's not ashamed to call us His own. I ask people all the time, I said, what is God's best? It was Jesus. But what was He willing to give up to get me and you? So He actually saw value in us equal to or greater than Jesus. He was willing to sacrifice His Son to get us. Do you realize the magnitude of that? He wanted you so much that He was willing to give up His very best. I know over the years, I have the next generation, I have children. I said, you know, sometimes along life, you have to give up some things to do what you really need to do. I can remember I believed God for this one deer rifle for years, and I finally got it. But there came a time when I was going through a financial hard time. It was just a season. And I had to sell that gun to get money to pay my bills. That didn't mean I could never have that gun again. It just meant that I needed to be willing to put priorities first. Well, years later, I got a gun equal to or greater than that. So what I'm saying is that the Bible tells us that we're not our own, we're bought with a price. And when you think about that, if you meditate on that, you think God gave everything, the very best, the most valuable thing He had to get you. So what I'm saying to you this morning is that you're God's best. God selected you. He wanted you. He valued you. He wants to use you, work through you, bless you. He wants to bless you. I always say, you know, the world's not going to come to the church unless we got something they're interested in. They're not coming. The church has got to have something that says, you know, I don't know about that bunch that speaks in tongues, and I don't know about them ones that cast out devils, and I don't know about them prosperity preachers. But one thing I got to say, they got something I don't have. We got the peace, we got the joy. And I'm telling you, the day's coming when right in front of them, they're going to see miracles. They say, I can't explain it. I don't know, but I know that guy over there didn't have a leg and he's got one now. Or that guy, that woman was dead in that casket and got up and walked off.
Amen.
Do you realize that God is going to use you to do that?
Amen.
You know, we're always praying, you know, Lord. In my early walk with God, I remember there was a family that lived across the street from my parents' house. And I knew they weren't saved. And one of them, I think, was fighting it. Battle with cancer. And I got down on my knees at my parents' house and I said, Lord, I feel a need to go minister to them. What do you think about that? And I heard God say, duh.
Wow.
Aren't you called to do that? You know, it's like you're asking God, do you really want me to take the gospel over there? You know, it was kind of like the Holy Ghost said, duh. So I realized right then, this gospel's not going to get preached unless me and you do it. You know, the Bible says the gospel will be preached in all the world and then the end will come. Now, I know some people, they get saved just for what they call fire insurance. They just don't want to go to hell, but they're not. Many of them, they get their fire insurance, they get Jesus in their heart, but they don't do anything for God their whole life. I never was one of those. I thought, you know what, if I'm going to give up this rotten, nasty life that I had for another one, I'm going to go whole hog with it. That's a Texas term. Right after I got saved, I tried to be Mr. Nice Guy. I want to be, you know, dignified. I want to be reserved. And I heard the Holy Ghost tell me, he said, "Do you like getting ripped off?" I said, "No, sir, I don't." He said, "Well, I bought and paid for you. I bought you. I paid the blood of Jesus to get you." And he said, "If you act any different from what you who you really are, I'm getting ripped off." He said, "You were bold for the devil. I want you to be bold for me." I said, "Yes, sir." I realized right then, I'm not, you know, when you go in the military, you don't tell them what to do. They tell you what to do. And how long to sleep and whatever. You're in an army. You're serving the leadership there and you do what they tell you. And they train you to obey. Yeah. Not act out of your emotions, but to obey based on your training. Because they know that if you'll follow the training, you won't get yourself killed and you won't get your buddy's platoon killed. And it's the same way in the body of Christ. God wants us to be trained to obey Him. So that's why this training manual needs to be before us regularly. Needs to get in you. So when he talks to you, you don't have to try to determine, well, was that the devil? You know, what do you mean give $100 extra this week? That was God talking to you. Let me go to the scripture I want to, as a jumping off spot. Turn with me to Acts chapter 4, verse 29. Does anybody here have the King James Version? Okay. In a minute, I want you to read that. Now, if you remember, Peter and John were out doing the work of the gospel, and the religious folk didn't like that. They wanted them to stop. And they brought him in front of their leadership and said, you know, you need to quit that saying that word Jesus, and you need to quit that miracle work and stuff. You need to stop that. And they even threatened him. But look what it says in 29. It was the group of believers got together and said, "Lord, consider their threats." I'm reading from the NIV. It said, "Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness." How many of you believe that the day we live in the world we live in, they want you to shut up? They want you to get over in that corner and be quiet. Don't bring that Jesus and that gospel and all that stuff out here in the street. It's okay if you sit over there and do your little religious thing, but don't come over here and tell us about that. The world is trying to get the church to shut up and be quiet and don't be active and don't be forceful and don't come out in the street and love people and don't just be quiet and we'll get along. Have y'all ever seen that bumper sticker, "Coexist"? When I see that bumper sticker, I almost want to hit the gas and run in the back of it. You can't. That's like saying that Jesus and the devil and all that other junk can just get along. That don't work. We're not ever going to... Jesus is not ever going to sit down and have fellowship with devilish religions that have put men in people in bondage. It ain't going to happen. I was meditating one time. I was driving down the street, and I looked at a Presbyterian church. Don't have anything against any of them, and so don't take it personal. And I asked the Lord, I said, Presbyterian church, you know, I kind of know where the Baptist church came from. I know where the Methodist church came from. But what about the Presbyterian church? Where did that come from? And just as clear as I'm sitting right here, the Lord said, I had nothing to do with any of that. Because when you get to heaven, there's not going to be any of that. Those are all titles and things born out of strife that have divided us. Now, I'm not saying that there's not good people in those groups. You know, God bless them. But any kind of title or group or organization that says, well, you know, we don't believe like you believe, so we're going to go over here and start our own thing. And, you know, if you want to be with us, you just have to denounce what you've been doing and come over here. This is what we believe right here. And this doesn't separate men. It brings us together. Now, read that in the King James.
And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word.
How many of you want to be used by God? Is that all? I saw two. Oh, Lord, we need to work on this bunch. What I'm saying is that you are, you know, companies, they send out their salesmen to get their product out there, people interested in buying it. Did you know that every one of you are a salesman for the kingdom of God? It's your job to go out there and convince people based on what you know and the gifts and the talents and the anointing that's on your life to convince people that they need Jesus. Amen. And you need to sell it to them.
Amen.
And I used to laugh, you know, people say, well, that guy over there, he's not acting right. I said, look, God's big enough. If that salesman's not representing him well, he'll call him in there and chew him out and straighten him up. You don't need to be doing that. And that's God's business. It's not my. Now, if God tells me to go, you know, I need you to go tell that person what they're doing is wrong and I don't want you to stop it, that's different. But it's not our job to go around and try to straighten everybody out. That's God's business. They work for God.
That's right.
Pray for them if you think they're in error. But it's our job to go out and take this gospel. You know, I heard Norval Hay say one time, he was out ministering to somebody, and they said, well, I don't know about all that Jesus. He said, well, he looked at me, he said, well, you want it. He said, well, how do you know? He said, because if you know what I know, you'll want it. You just don't know what I know about it. It's our job to go out there and convince them that the gospel is the answer to everything. So it's our job to go out there and spread it. Now, can you imagine a mechanic being sent out on a job to maybe, let's just say heavy equipment. That's the industry that I work in. You're going to send a guy out to work in heavy equipment and he shows up with the only tools he's got, these little screwdrivers in his pocket. Now, how far do you think he's going to get with maybe like a busted hydraulic hose or maybe a starter? How far do you think he's going to get with those little minimal tools? He's not going to get a lot done, is he? But you know what? God has anointed us with the Holy Ghost to have every tool we need to handle any problem that we run up against while we're out there promoting this gospel. My wife one time was going to the hospital. I was on a team of people that went and did hospital visitation. I did that for several years and really, really enjoyed it. If you want to get involved in a ministry that you can actually see miracles happen right before your very eyes, you get involved in that ministry. Anyway, my wife, I couldn't go. Something happened. I said, well, you're going to have to go for me. And she says, I don't know what to do. I hadn't done this a whole lot. I said, everything you need is on the inside of you.
Amen.
Every word you need to say, every scripture, every anointing, everything you need. You're well equipped. And she goes, you're right. What? If you've got Jesus in your heart and you've been baptized with the Holy Ghost, you got every tool
yes.
that you need to get the job done.
Amen.
And you need to have some confidence in that. You need to realize when I come walking in on this, not with arrogance. I've seen that. One time I was with a group of people said, we're going to go out there. We're going to cast a devil out of that bunch over there. I said, well, why don't you go over there and just love them? And then if that comes up, then deal with it. They were trying to notch their evangelistic belt. I cast out 7 devils tonight. Well, you know, that's not what it's all about. It's about loving people. If that comes up, then you know you've got something on the inside of you that's greater than that. Greater is he that's in us and he that's in the world. Then run that devil off. But you're equipped to do mighty things for God. Every one of you. You're God's best. You're a chosen bunch, a chosen people to go do that. Well, at the end of my life, I want God to say thank you for doing your very best at what I asked you to do.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, along the way, I have seen some people, they think, oh, well, he's weird. I was on my way to work one time, and I knew that I did not have enough gas to get to work. But I had it calculated. I'll go down the freeway. I know where I can get off. I get gas and get right back on. I'll be on time. So I'm driving along down the freeway, and I totally missed that gasoline exit. And I'm going, Lord, why did I do that? Well, when I rounded the corner in the freeway, here's a car flipped upside down right in my lane. So I pull over on the side of the road, and I heard the Holy Ghost said, you're going to sit there? Or are you going to get out and do something? Well, I knew I had to get out because there's a person laying in that freeway that's hurting. I got out, and right away there's a woman that went out there with me. And she's checking their vitals, and they said, he's dead. I heard that, but I didn't focus in on that. I prayed for him. I prayed for that person. While I'm praying for him, he coughs. Well, that wouldn't be a dead person doing that. So I got in the car after I realized my mission for being there. I never had another thought about gasoline. I drove to work. I was so glad to be doing something for God. I didn't even think about gasoline. I got to work and I thought, you know what? I'm going to check on that. The next day I called. And through several phone calls, they finally got me to the ambulance that made the call. I said, I'm just checking on that. How did that go? They said, well, they got him to the hospital and they kept him for observation. They couldn't find nothing wrong with him. You see, God put me right there at that time for that to happen.
Amen.
And now I could have said, oh, no, I'm not going to go out there. I'm going to be Mr. Dignified. I'm going to just, Lord, just bless him and just drive down the road. God wants to use you to do some bold, mighty, miraculous things for his glory.
Amen.
And you think, well, no, that's for somebody else. No, that's for you.
Amen.
That's you doing it.
Amen.
Turn with me to the 14th chapter of John. And look at the 14th verse, chapter 14, verse 12. I'm reading from the NIV. It said, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. What did Jesus do? He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He cast out devils. He will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. Now, that's you chew on that a little bit. you're going to do even greater things? Well, I know there's been some say, well, the greater means, well, he got 10 people saved, so we got 11. You know, God doesn't limit it. When he says greater, he's expecting you to take this gospel. See, really, what it is that you're a vessel carrying him to the situation. I'm going to carry Jesus to him, then I'm going to carry Jesus to her, and I'm going to carry Jesus into that situation. I'm going to carry Jesus into this problem. It's him in you doing the work.
Amen.
Even Jesus said, why do you marvel? It's the Father doing the work through me. How many of you believe that a demon-possessed person can go out and do something wrong and evil? The church for years said, well, yeah, that guy was demon-possessed. That's what caused him to do that. You think you could be possessed by the Holy Ghost to do something right?
Amen.
Well, I know you can. Now, you still have a choice. God's not going to make you do it. He's not going to bend your elbow and tell you, well, you got to go out there and do it. You still have a choice. But why wouldn't you do what God asks you to do when he tells you to do it? And I'm going to tell you, I've missed it numerous times. I had God tell me one time, I want you to get up in this church service and walk right across the front of this platform and stick your finger on that woman's head over there and I'll heal her. And I wouldn't do it because I was afraid of what people would think. And I had to repent of that. God wanted to heal that person, but he was looking for somebody that would just boldly get up and go do what he asked. But then there's other times when I obeyed that. I was preaching at the jails one time, and the Holy Ghost, they had all these inmates, and I'm over here at the side. They're going to give each one of us 5 minutes. So my time hadn't come up to speak yet. So I'm sitting over here, and the Lord says, go over there and touch that guy on the forehead right there. I'm looking around like, why would I do that? It didn't make any sense. But I knew it was, that didn't, how would I come up with a thought like that? Out of nowhere, go over there and touch that guy on the forehead. I knew that thought didn't come from me. Well, I finally did it. When I went over there and touched him, the power of God hit him so hard, he fell backwards on a table, totally collapsed the table, and I fell on top of him. Well, everybody in there stopped looking at what was going on at the front. They were looking over at us like, what in the world? And I got up. I was kind of like, I was a little bit embarrassed, you know. But I kind of got my composure. And I went back over there and I had my time to minister and I gave my 5 minutes. Well, at the end of that thing, the guy leading it gave an altar call. And guess who was the first one to come running up? That guy, he come running up there. I mean, phew. Well, when he came, every inmate in there came with him. You know what I found out later on? He was the head of a gang. And they thought, if he's going, we're going. He got saved and the whole bunch got saved because the power of God, he ran into a power greater than what he thought he had. Knocked him flat on his back. And see, that's what God wants to use you to do stuff like that. Are y'all ashamed of that?
No.
There's a temptation. Remember they said, consider their threatenings. The world's always telling you, don't go. No, don't go do that. What will they think? But I'm telling you, God wants to use you to do things to shake this world into knowing that the gospel, I don't understand that much, but what they got is real. It works. How many of you want to be a part of something like that?
Amen.
How many of you want to be used like that?
Amen.
And it's not to exalt you.
No.
It's to exalt him.
That's right.
You remember it said that Jesus humbled himself. And in doing so, God entrusted him with more. You know, the more humble we are about carrying this gospel and that power, the more God can trust us. Because there's been many that's come before us and had anointings on their life, and it, you saw what it did. It destroyed them because they got to thinking, well, this is me doing this. Look at me. It's not about you. It's about Him. And God wants to turn up the power on the church, but we got to get past this timidity and this wonder or caring what the world thinks of us. We got to get past that. Man, we're blood-bought children of the Most High God. He said he's going to allow us to sit together with Him in heavenly places, and He's actually going to have us judge the world when this thing is over. Now, that's not somebody that's, I mean, he's trusted you with all He's got. You're just another Jesus on the scene. You know, there's a gospel according to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but do you know there's a gospel according to you? What's your name, sir?
David.
Do you know there's a gospel according to David? There is. All these men did was write how they, how their life functioned around Jesus. But you have testimonies and things that God has used you to do. There's a gospel according to you. I had somebody say this one time, how would you like to meet the person you're supposed to be? Think of that. Think of that. See, God's already planned what He wants you to be and do and have, but it takes our cooperation. I was in a restaurant one time, and the Lord said, I want you to go over there and give that woman a word of knowledge. And I didn't do it because there was a lot of people around, and I didn't think it was appropriate time. And I heard the Holy Ghost said, that's not up to you to decide not to do that. I'm giving the orders around here, not you. And what He was saying is, I'm wanting to set that person free or do something for them, and you're hindering it by not obeying. Man, sometimes all God wants you to do is over there and say, God tells me that you need an extra $100 or whatever. God wants to use you. And I'm telling you, the only way you're going to convince this world that's so bold, I mean, they parade their filth up and down the streets. The only way you're going to convince that world, you know, God loves them. God wants them to be saved too. But the only way you're going to convince them they need this gospel is they're going to have to see the supernatural is a dinner bell. They see that supernatural. I don't know about all that, but I what they got works.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Think about this. You're God's best. Amen. He chose you. He gave His very best to get you. He wants to use you. He wants to bless you. He wants to bless you so to the point where the world is jealous of what you got. I like what Oral Roberts used to say. He said, we've been accused of being rich, and he said, I don't think we're guilty enough. You're a blood-bought child of the Most High God. You ought to be blessed. Not living on barely get along street down there on the end of Grumble Alley with your shoes wore out and your car. I'm not condemning anybody because I've been there. I can remember right after I got saved, I got 4 months behind on my house note, and this big old black Cadillac pulled up in front of my house, and these four guys in suits come up knocking on my door, and I said, can I help you? I said, yeah, we want to come in and look at this property because we're fixing to take it away from you. And I said, in the name of Jesus, I'm going to get caught up, and you're not taking my house from me. Now, I didn't know how it was going to happen, but you know what? I did. I got there. I'll give you a little quick testimony. my wife had gotten saved and had gotten started getting around this full gospel bunch. So I'm kind of on the outskirts, you know, just kind of watching. But then when my daughter was born, she got very sick. After 3 months, she got real sick and got put in intensive care. She deteriorated really bad and was stayed sick for about 6 months. And they told me, they said, she can't live another month like this. She weighed 9 pounds, and at the end of 9 months, she only weighed 11 pounds. So she only gained 2 pounds in 9 months. So I'm watching this, excuse me, and I'm thinking, you know, this happens to other people, but now it's happening to me. So my wife started hearing that Jesus is a healer. So she'd come home and tell me that. So I'm going, oh, okay, yeah. I didn't understand that. But then when she brought this healing power to my daughter, and my daughter got well in 3 days and went home from the hospital, gained all of her weight back in 3 days and went home, the doctor said, well, you know, don't get your hopes up. Sometimes they get real good before they get bad again. My daughter got well, 3 days, went home. And I thought, you know what? I don't like this life I have. If God would do that for me the way I'm living, what would he do if I surrendered and just sold out to him?
Amen.
Brother Osteen used to tell us, that's Joel's dad, he said, if you don't like the life you got now, trade it in on another one.
Amen.
I remember, I was the guy, if they dared me to do it, I'd do it twice. I did all kinds of crazy stuff. And when I got saved, I tried to be quiet. And the Lord said, no, you were bold for the devil. I want you to be bold for me. Well, immediately, I lost all of my friends. They all said, oh, he's gone off the deep end. And they would corner me at work. And they said, well, we heard you speak in tongues. I said, I do. They said, well, let's see it. And I put my hands up right in the middle of them mechanic shops and started praying in tongues. And I opened my eyes, they were all gone. Or they'd be telling a dirty joke, and I'd just kind of get right in the middle of it. I'd raise my hand and say, oh, thank you, Jesus. That they never got to the punchline of that dirty joke. I realized that I'm called to be like that, and I'm not going to get out of that. Just be who God calls you to be. But years later on, I had people come to me. They said, man, I want what you got. I want what you got. Well, I thank God for that, because that was God working through me to make what I had appealing to where they, hey, I want what he's got. I had a guy actually try to get me fired. Later on, I got him saved. It's amazing the things, the adventures that God will take you on if you just sell out to him. Tell him, I want to be bold. I want to be used. You tell me to go, I'll go. You tell me to do this and I'll do it. I know some people think, well, what if he tells me to go to Africa or wherever, you know? But I heard somebody say, I'd rather be over there in Africa with God than being over here without him. Because if he's telling you to go, where did I say he is? Right there. He's going with you.
Amen.
Well, that's all I got. I do want to pray for you, woman right here. What's your name?
Tammy.
Tammy.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Can you come up?
taking this one. You're not setting yourself up on this one's life and trying to rob her of what God's called her to be and do and have. Thank you, Lord, for your healing power. Encourage you that you have an ability to speak to people that others don't have. You can hold their attention. God wants to use that ability. Are you willing to, for that to happen?
Yes.
Father, I thank you. What's your name? I thank you for your anointing on his life to do exploits. You said those that know their God will do exploits. Thank you, Father, for using him. I think he's going to even be amazed at how taking this gospel into his areas of influence, he's even going to be amazed at, wow, this is really, really working. This is really powerful. Thank you, Father, for giving him everything he needs to get the job done. In Jesus' name. Told you to shut up and be quiet.
Oh, yeah.
Told you to don't bring that religious stuff out of here. I had somebody tell me, they said, oh, well, you got religion. I said, no, religion's of the devil. I didn't get that. They look at you really strange when you say stuff like that. How many of you would say, count me in on that. I want to be used of God more boldly.
Amen.
Now, the thoughts and the feelings of being ashamed and shut up, that the devil's right there all the time trying to get you to quit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But you can actually say, I don't care what they think. I'm serving the King.
Amen.
If you want prayer for that, to be bold, I want you to come on up.
Jack, there's no Jake.
Okay. Well, we all join hands. Okay, I want y'all to repeat after me. Father.
Father.
I want to be used.
I want to be used.
To spread the gospel.
To spread the gospel.
Of Jesus Christ.
Of Jesus Christ.
Like the Apostle Paul.
Like the Apostle Paul.
He said.
He said.
I'm not ashamed of the gospel.
I'm not ashamed of the gospel.
Of Jesus Christ.
Of Jesus Christ.
For it's the power of God.
For it's the power of God.
Unto salvation.
Unto salvation.
Lord, forgive me.
Lord, forgive me.
Of any area.
Of any area.
I've been timid.
I've been timid.
I've backed off.
I've backed off.
I've been more concerned with what people think.
I've been more concerned with what people think.
Than what you think.
Than what you think.
Forgive me for that.
Forgive me for that.
Today.
Today.
Is a new day.
Is a new day.
I'm going to start over.
I'm going to start over.
With a new attitude towards you. To your using me.
To your using me.
That it's a privilege.
That it's a privilege.
But it's also our duty.
It's also my duty.
To serve you.
To serve you.
Thank you for that.
Thank you for that.
Thank you for anointing me.
Thank you for anointing me.
To take this gospel.
To take this gospel.
Wherever I go.
Wherever I go.
When I open my mouth.
When I open my mouth.
You'll fill it.
You'll fill it.
Your words.
Your words.
Will be on my lips.
Will be on my lips.
As a pen.
As a pen.
Of a ready writer.
Of a ready writer.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, the more word you got in you, the more it will complement the anointing that's on you. Because at the end of the day, God doesn't have to confirm what I think. He only confirms what he says. See, he's only committed to what he said. I can give my opinion all day long. God's not obligated to keep my word. He's obligated to keep his word.
Amen.
But when you take his word into a situation, what did he say? He would watch over his word to perform it. And it says his word accomplishes what he sent it to do.
Yes.
You go take his word, which is Jesus. Didn't it say the word became flesh?
Amen. That's right.
You take that into your world, into your families, and see if God doesn't breathe on it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You're gonna see a lot of change. Yeah, you're excited about it, I can tell. She can't wait to get out of here.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
I'm telling you, we can get this gospel done.
Amen.
We can get it done.
Amen.
And those hopeless cases that you think, man, they just not gonna, they haven't come in, they haven't yielded. You pray that God would send somebody to cross their path that they will listen to.
Yes.
Because there's somebody out there they will listen to. How many of you remember that celebrity Rock Hudson? Mm-hmm. He lived, he had a, we all know what his problem was.
Yeah.
Did you know that Norval Hayes Ministry had a nurse that went to his church and helping him. She was taking care of his care, and she would lay these books on his nightstand and that while he was dying. And right about 3 days before he died, he looked over and he said, well, I guess I've done everything there is to do, but I hadn't done that. Wow. And she led him in the sinner's prayer, and he got saved.
Glory to God.
See, God strategically has his people right where he wants them. We just got to yield to it.
Amen.
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 Did y'all get anything out of it?
Yes.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you for not being here last night.
Yes, amen. I was thinking the same thing.
Thank you, Lord.
That was from God.
Thank you so much, Tom. You know,
that's fun.
The Lord told me, I was just getting ready to walk over here from next door. You know, my pastor's office is right here next door. And I started to get up from the table, walk over here, get ready to start the service. And someone had told me Tom was here, and I just felt three words rise up in my spirit. Let Tom speak.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
And I got to tell you, I had double barrels loaded. I was ready to speak. He said, let Tom speak. Boy, he served well.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
And unbeknownst to him, I didn't tell him a thing about what I was going to preach on. He preached my message.
Glory to God.
You'll get to hear part two next week.
Amen.
This is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. God
Amen.
Fills us with power. I mean, he turned to the book of Acts right off the bat and said, God knows what he's doing.
Amen.
Tom knew.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost knew.
Amen.
He's filling us with power.
Yes.
To go and be a witness.
Amen.
To bring Jesus. We're conduit. We're vessels to bring Jesus to lost and hurting people. Don't be afraid to look foolish.
Amen.
When you look foolish, people will get saved.
That's right.
When you look foolish in the public arena, people will get healed. People will get delivered if we're willing to lay down this flesh.
Amen.
And that's why we need the Holy Ghost.
He's
the power in us to be the Greek word there says martis. Did you know that? Where the King James translates, you will receive power to be a witness. It actually translates from the Greek word martyrs. It's martyr. We get that word martyr. Your flesh has to die in order for them to live.
Amen.
And only by the Holy Ghost and His power can it happen. And Tom knew.
Who would have known?
Praise the Lord. Thank you for being with us, Tom.
Amen.
It was right on track.
Amen.
You got something else? Look like you were about to light up again.
I'm still with the ground.
Oh, okay. We'll beat the Methodist of Lubies, whatever.
Amen.
Hey, so Terry has an announcement for next week. Listen up closely.
Yeah, so just remember next week we won't be in this facility. We'll be church on the move because the Nolan Ryan Center is already in use. So we're going to go across the way over here. I'm going to just put something in the mail to everybody. We do have a map on the back of the bulletins. If you need that, or if you want that, but I'm also going to put something in the mail. So bring your own coffee, because we won't have coffee over there. We also won't have a nursery there, but bring Harley, and she can just run around and praise the Lord with us. But the room is C227, and it's upstairs, but there is an elevator. But if you have any questions about it, just get with me. So praise
Amen.
The Lord.
We'll be blessed. Yeah. Go and set the world on fire.